For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. The Kremlin says Russia agrees with Donald Trump that NATO is obsolete. This comes after the US president-elect laid out some of his foreign policy objectives in an interview with German and British newspapers. William Denslow reports from Moscow.
In his interview with Bild and The Times, Donald Trump stated that NATO was obsolete, but added that it was still very important to him. Reacting to his comments, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said he agrees that NATO is a remnant of the past. This weekend, Poland officially welcomed the arrival of around 4,000 US troops in a bid US officials say will help boost ties with NATO and counter Russian aggression. But Moscow says it's a threat to their national security. Trump also proposed a deal with Russia that would see a reduction in nuclear arms in exchange for a lifting of sanctions. Peskov says the Kremlin will consider such plans after Trump is sworn into office. William Denslow, Moscow.
A Turkish cargo plane, which was on its way from Hong Kong, has crashed in Kyrgyzstan, killing all four crew members as well as at least 33 people on the ground. The Boeing 747 crashed as it landed in fog at Manas Airport, which is north of the capital Bishkek in Kyrgyzstan. Several buildings were destroyed in a village close to the airport. Turkish MPs have voted in favour of a new constitution which will increase the powers of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. There will be a second round of voting later in the week and then the plans will be put to a referendum. Elena Kasas has more.
For Erdogan's supporters, it's simply a move to bring Turkey in line with other presidential systems like France or the US. For his critics, it's a power grab. The new constitution will abolish the post of prime minister and give the president powers to appoint and dismiss ministers. The governing AK party got the 3/5 majority it needed to approve the plans in parliament on Sunday night. The opposition furiously opposes the changes. Last week, a fight broke out in parliament with MPs of both sides throwing chairs. The pro-Kurdish HDP boycotted the vote because several of its MPs have been jailed for allegedly supporting Kurdish militants.
A top court in Egypt has upheld a ruling which will halt a plan to transfer two Red Sea islands to Saudi Arabia. Tehran and Sanafir are at the mouth of the Gulf of Aqaba. They're uninhabited apart from Egyptian troops and peacekeepers. President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi had been accused of handing them over to Saudi Arabia last April in exchange for a multi-billion dollar aid deal. There's lots more from us up at our Facebook page. Like us there at facebook.com/featurestorynews. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And thank you very much, Ollie Barrett. And a warm welcome to the programme to you. I hope you've had a terrific weekend. It is Monday, the 16th of January, 2017, the beginning of a brand new week of Richie Allen Shows. Let's crack on with it then. Before we do, at Richie Allen Show is the Twitter handle. You can email richie@richieallen.co.uk.
From Feature Story News in London.
And we don't want to hear the news again, do we? So let's not do that. Let's try that again. Let's get on with the programme. At Richie Allen Show on Twitter, richie@richieallen.co.uk. Let's try again.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. It's the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Welcome then. Right, Gerald Celente, the legendary Trends Journal publisher, joins the programme this hour. We'll be talking about what else but the inauguration of Donald Trump, what that means in terms of the first 100 days. Gerald has been accurately predicting geopolitical and economic trends for a long, long time. Accurately is the key word. So we'll do that with Gerald. And coming up in the second hour, first time on the Richie Allen Show, Ralph Epperson joins us. He's an historian, an author, lecturer. He's been researching the conspiratorial view of history for nearly 50 years. He's written many books as well. and he talks about the unseen hand of masonry, the conspiracy against Christianity, much more besides. Ralph joins us. That should be fascinating in the second hour. And as I said, go to the Twitter account of the programme. It's at Richie Allen Show. We read out the tweets, good, bad or indifferent, and I want to hear what you have to say, so do that. Well, what a weekend it was here in the great city of Manchester. Fantastic weekend. I met some wonderful people there, many of whom are listeners to this programme and came to the programme through their support of and their following of David Icke. Now, there's too many to mention, so rather than offend anybody, I'm not going to go into mentioning people, except to say Steve from Middlesbrough, who I had a long chat with late Saturday afternoon during a break, and fascinating guy, really, really funny guy, whom is from Middlesbrough, born and bred, big West Ham fan, strangely enough, and he asked me would I say hello to him. So, Steve, I'm a man of my word. Nice to chat with you. I met some wonderful people, I really did. Amazing day. The atmosphere was incredible. It was electric. Nearly 3,000 sell out of the Apollo, the O2 Apollo Theatre in Manchester. And there were several, I thought, throughout the day, many, many people came along hoping to pick up a ticket. In fact, there were many people who turned up on the day hoping to get a ticket or to pick up any spares. Such was the interest in that, in this great city where I think it's fair to say David Icke is very fond of it, and the warmth and the energy of the city and the compassion of the people here, the friendliness of the people here. It's so much different up north. There's no doubt about that. How does David Icke stand there for 10 and a half hours without notes? Very, very rarely. Very rarely saying something that he'd said earlier, only when it's important to reinforce a point. How does he do that? I have no idea. It was the fourth time that I've seen David stand in front of an audience for that length of time. I have no idea. It is, I think, the eighth wonder of the world, or the ninth wonder of the world. My tongue is not up his arse. There is nothing like that in the world ever. I've been making radio programmes for donkey's years. I used, obviously, from a very mainstream and a very commercial background. Whatever I might have thought about this information many years ago, I would have had grudging admiration if I'd ever seen anything like that. How do you do that? With a couple of thousand images and some videos, how do you do that? How do you hold the audience in the palm of your hand for that length of time? I don't know. I don't think he knows either. What I'm going to say next sounds a bit negative, but it isn't negative. It's positive at all. I don't do negativity anymore. I'm removing negativity from my life. There was zero coverage of that event in the Manchester press. Zero. And I scoured the pages of the commercial radio stations in Manchester, of which there are many, and there was no coverage of it. None whatsoever. And there will be none in Ireland, where he'll be this coming Saturday at the Helix Theatre, which I believe is now sold out. There'll be none. Channel 4 News rang Jamie and got in touch with David last week before the Manchester event. They wanted to do an interview with David. And there was something about, I think, one of the reporters, something about, it smelled of a kind of a set-up job, that it was going to be one of those hatchet job or hit pieces on David. What was interesting about that, I think, around about that time, the Apollo Theatre were contacted by a gentleman representing a group who said or say that they're anti-Semitism and racism, and threatened the Apollo about reporting them and saying they had observers in the audience and threatening a protest and all of that, none of which materialised. I don't believe there's any coincidences around these things. I don't believe there was any coincidence in the Guardian newspaper asking questions about that and trying to get an interview. This is the negativity. And I'll tell you why I think why the media is behaving like this. A, why it's completely ignoring David Icke. I mean, this is a major story, you know. A man rocks into a city. He's very famous from presenting sports and news for the BBC for many years. He's famous for going off the deep end in the early 1990s, Wogan and all of that. He's a household name, not only in this country. So the complete lack of media coverage is incredibly telling. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about it whatsoever. Well, I suppose I'll stick with that theme for a minute, you know, why they're doing what they're doing. I believe it's because he continues to walk, in my opinion, on the very, very outer limits of the cutting edge of conspiracy research. He does. While many of his contemporaries, and I was thinking about this today, have either succumbed to fatigue, which is forgivable, hopelessness, equally forgivable, indifference, maybe not so forgivable, or worse, they've gone 180 degrees and they've thrown in their lot with politicians like Bernie Sanders, Jeremy Corbyn, and now Donald Trump. And much of what David spoke about on Saturday, again, these researchers and these content creators, they just won't go down these roads for fear of ridicule or, again, for fear of losing sponsors. There's no doubt about that. And back to the media ignoring of him. Again, and I was thinking about what I would say here. When David gets to talking about the Archon entities who manifest themselves and appear to us in different forms, in a reptilian form, these are the entities who trapped humanity into the 5%, 5 cents even, our 5 cents perception of reality, manipulating our reality. These ancient entities who have basically blinded us to the real world. Okay, locked us into this holographic, you could call it a matrix, you could call it a holographic universe, this program, and have built this dystopian society around it. And I think because presentations like David's, and there aren't any presentations like David, it's unique in human history, it's unique. Nobody has ever done anything like it, and I doubt anybody will ever do anything like it again. Because he juxtaposes fact, okay, he explains what's gone on here using historical fact, using documentation, and using hard evidence to support it. At the same time, juxtaposing that with geopolitical events which are happening right now. And this is what grabs people in, you see. The brilliance of this. And in my opinion, this is why the media... And of course, I'm fascinated by the media. I came from the media. I was created, I suppose. You know, my adult life was shaped by my experience of working in commercial media. This is why they won't go there. This is why they won't go anywhere near talking about him and reporting on these events. They can't do it. They can't do it. It's as simple as that. You know, I was thinking yesterday, it doesn't matter anymore. I think he said that at some stage during the day. It no longer matters because the centre, it's not so much the centre can no longer hold. The centre has just collapsed away from these media organisations. And he talked about how, you know, people are seeing through it to the point where they are backing people like Jeremy Corbyn on one side of the political spectrum, and on the other side are backing Donald Trump. And they might be misguided, but as he said, it's a primal scream because people are, they are at their wits' end, they are angry, they are outraged, they are struggling to cope with what's going on and beginning to realise that there is the explanation to it might not be in the realms of the physical anymore, or the easily explicable, the easily explained. And maybe in the future, they'll, you know, people will move away. I think we're very close to people moving away from choosing a politician and believing that politician speaks to them and is speaking for them. And David is so undogmatic. He's so brilliant with that. He's so open-minded. You know, he's so fair. Unlike, you know, others that I could mention, including myself, maybe I'm very hostile when it comes to talking about people who support Trump and others. He takes the wider, broader view of it and sees the positives in it. It was just outstanding again on Saturday. It was different again to the time I saw him in Amsterdam not long before Christmas. It's an evolving talk, packed out with people whom I was speaking to. And a question I kept asking people out of curiosity throughout the day, and many people have said this on Facebook, so I'm not making this up. I said to people late on in the day, long day, you see, And I said, is it too long for you? Is it difficult now at this stage to hold on to your concentration and follow it? And to a man and woman, I think 99% of people I asked said, no, it's not. And there was only one guy who said it was difficult, Richie. But then he said, I probably should have stayed in the city overnight. I got up very early in the morning to come down from Glasgow. And there's only a bit of fatigue now, but he said, I'm still rooted to it. That's an extraordinary thing to talk for that length of time. Knit all these strands together. Going back thousands of years, the Gnostics, their evaluation of and their writing about and their discovery of the Archon entities and what they were doing and bringing it all in. There's one thing I wanted to say as well on that. I had a pleasant and a polite conversation with a lady today. I think she's based in Dublin. And she was very quick when a friend of mine was talking about her very positive experience of the event on Saturday. She was very quick to jump in with lizards and reptilians and stuff like that and very dismissive. So I very politely said, look, are you a believer in God? Do you believe that God divided himself into three and sent his son, which is him, down to earth to be tortured to death as, a condition of forgiving our sins? Now, I wasn't being sarcastic or cheeky, and I did say to the lady, look, I'm being very respectful here. And it was a two-part question. I said, are you somebody who believes that? And if not, you know, you will have many friends and family and people like that who will believe that. Do you dismiss out of hand everything else they say or do based on you just can't fathom or can't understand why they believe in the God whom you go to church every Sunday and you eat his flesh and he was tortured for our sins and all of that, that story which I don't believe in personally? And she came back and gave me a couple of, you know, non-answers. So the only thing that does get me down every now and then, I mean, I've got friends and family whom will say things like, I'm not interested in that because I don't get all this interdimensional entities in the minute, but I don't get any of that stuff on reptilians. I can't. So there's no way I'm going to listen to any of that. And that pisses me off. And I was thinking, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you can't paint everybody with the same brush. I was thinking, look, a lot of people, I think, at least some people I know, are very nervous about exposing themselves to a day like that. Nervous because they think to themselves, well, I wonder if I started to, you know, I wonder if I went there, I wonder would I hear things I don't want to hear, I wonder would I, you know, would I understand that? Would it make sense to me in some way? Now, I'm not saying they think this out loud, it's a subconscious thing, and in some way then would that be very difficult to deal with going forward? And I think there's a lot of that, you know. Look, it was absolutely outstanding here. It was acclaimed by everybody who came to Manchester and spent nearly 12 hours watching it and who left. And it's like, you know, again, the big elephant in the room. World famous conspiracy researcher, world famous television presenter comes into a city, speaks to thousands of people, puts on an amazing event, and not a dicky bird, not a whisper from the mainstream media. And the reason the mainstream media are terrified of David Icke is because I believe, and I said this actually to David, I tried to say this on Saturday and I made a balls of it because I was nervous. I introduced Gareth. Before that, I said a couple of things about David, but I was nervous because it's been a long time since I stood in front of a big crowd. What I wanted to say was, I believe David Icke's journey is only beginning. And again, that's not in any way sycophantic or in any way brown-nosing. I believe he's only started. For me, the last 27 years of his life have been a journey to a major outpost, like a space station of some description. And there is the Enterprise, or the Millennium Falcon. I'm using metaphors here. And he's now behind the controls of this vehicle. And where he goes from here is going to be incredibly exciting. That's what I feel. And I didn't say that very well on Saturday. He's out on his own now. Like I said, the contemporaries and, you know, they've disappeared by the wayside, many of them, and he's out on his own, right on the cutting edge of stuff that most people are terrified of speaking with. If you're going to the Helix on Saturday, you're going to see something that's going to change your mind if you don't know a lot about any of this. And many people turning up on Saturday, first-time visitors to an event like that, and had never really delved into some of the deeper stuff about the nature of reality. And many of those people I spoke to were saying to me, look, this makes sense to me now. I understand that because the way it's presented. The Helix is sold out, I believe. Do go to theworldwidewakeup.com because there you'll see where David is going to be over the course of 2017. And if he's coming to a city or a town or to your country, again, I can't recommend highly enough. You spend a few bucks, and not a lot of bucks either, and go and spend a day with him. It's extraordinary. It is exactly 20 minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with Fab Radio 2, alternatecurrentradio.com. Do check that out. The TuneIn app, and of course, we're on davidicke.com. Do check out davidicke.com/headlines. Again, I can't recommend that highly enough. Now, Gerald Celente will be with us in a couple of minutes' time. Before that, though, I'm going to take a very quick break. Won't be long. Back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Do not risk putting another pound in your bank account until you've heard this message. It's Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my brand new book, The Road to Ruin. Visit theroadtoruin.co.uk for full details now. Inside, I uncover the financial elite's secret ICE-9 plan to take full control of your hard-earned cash. To see how, visit theroadtoruin.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. Claim your free copy at theroadtoruin.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Right, you're very welcome back. The Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. Gerald Celente is standing by to speak with us, and we will do that in a couple of minutes' time. Before that, though, Gareth Icke, of course, supported David on Saturday. He opened with an amazing song called Man on Fire from his latest album, 3, which we've played a lot over the last few months because it's outstanding. This is it.
Man on fire. Man on fire. Man on fire. Needs to breathe. Needs to breathe, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Gaz and Man on Fire. Go to GarethIke.com. Check it out. Brilliant from the album 3. This is the Richie Allen Show. It's exactly 25 minutes past the hour for Monday, January 16th, 2017. Let's welcome our first guest to the programme. He's been accurately predicting economic and geopolitical trends for many, many years. Go to trendsresearch.com. That's trendsresearch.com, and connect to and subscribe to the Trends Journal. You can also follow him on Twitter. It's at Gerald Salente, and his YouTube channel is fantastic. Trends in the News is something I don't miss. It's pithy, it's funny, it's hilarious, and it's cutting edge analysis of what's going on around the world. Let's welcome back to the programme our great friend Gerald Salente. Gerald, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, and Happy New Year.
Hey, belated Happy New Year, and to you too, my friend. Exciting times. It's going to be a busy few weeks and months ahead for you, and as usual, the Journal, can't recommend it highly enough, trendsresearch.com, folks. Gerald, your friend and colleague, and somebody we like a lot on the programme, Paul Craig Roberts, was on the programme last week. And I love Paul's writing. I know you do as well, because it's never predictable. Paul shoots from the hip and from the heart and will go wherever the information takes him. And he said something wonderful to us last week, very honest. He said, look, you know, I've been impressed by things I've heard from Trump, but then, you know, I see the Zionist neocons around him, and I don't know what's going on sometimes, he said. But he did say one thing, Gerald. He said, if this guy is for real, whether he makes it to the inauguration or not within the next few months, if he is for real, if he is going to go against, you know, the establishment, he won't be long for the world. What do you think?
Well, you know, a lot of people are saying that, and, you know, who knows? It could or could happen. I try not to get involved in that kind of thinking, in the sense that, I mean, they'll murder anybody, any place. They murder children all over Libya. They murder children all over, and women and people all over Iraq and Afghanistan. They start wars based on lies in Vietnam, killed over 3 million people, destroyed the country, poisoned tens of millions of others with the Agent Orange. So, of course, they'll do, you know, they're sick people. They'll do anything. But that doesn't mean that it will happen, in the sense that I'm very sure, you know, Trump has had security around him a good part of his life. So security isn't something that's foreign to him. And I think he'll be on extra high alert. And when I look at some of the other people he brought in with him, a number of generals. And so they're hip to the scene, too. So I try not to get too involved in that, but in looking at the bigger picture, you know, anything could happen. And but at this point, you know, I don't see it. But again, that's just my opinion. It's not, you know, one of my trend forecasts, so I don't take a strong stand on it.
No, and nor should anybody ever come back in the future and say, oh, you got that wrong. You can't make a prediction on that. I mean, you never know. I mean, I've talked to David about this privately, about the possibility that, you know, if and when he begins to let people down. And I'm not going to waste any time telling our audience what I think, because they know I don't believe in representative democracy in the political system. I don't believe in Donald Trump. But, you know, you never know. Some lunatic might, because he's absolutely pissed off in the future that Trump hasn't manifested or hasn't become what he said he would be, might do something or cause him some harm, and then you'd have chaos. What do you think of him now, Gerald? What do you think of the man? Is he real to you? Does he ring true? Are there... Because it's not black and white, of course. You know, while I completely disapprove of the system, and I believe the system always wins, you know, at times I think the guy believes some of the stuff he says. What do you think of him? How would you categorize him?
Well, you know, first of all, as you well know, we had forecast that he was going to win in our Trends Journal back in May. And I've been on your show saying that, but, and you know how I feel about him. He's narcissistic. I don't see him as very bright, but I look at things through the way they are. And the fact is that Trump didn't only beat Clinton, he beat Obama. And Obama campaigned harder than any sitting president in history for a candidate of the same party. And he lost. He didn't only lose with Clinton. They lost the Senate. They lost the House big time. They lost state houses around the country. had nothing to do with them Russians. No, they had to do with people looking at Obama's last 8 years, the guy that lied himself into office, lying himself out. He didn't only beat Obama and Clinton, he beat the mainstream media. They all got it wrong, and they all supported him, her. And that's a fact. You go to the editorials in the major newspapers, Clinton, Clinton, Clinton. He didn't only beat the newspaper industry, the White House, and Clinton, he beat Silicon Valley. He beat the Zuckerbergs. He beat the Eric Schmidts, as we saw with the Google leaks, the WikiLeaks, that, you know, they were using the best algorithms, the best minds in the Silicon Valley. They lost. They were helping Clinton. He beat Hollywood. He beat the Zuckerbergs. He beat the Spielbergs. The $100,000 a plate dinners, Obama going to Hollywood 45 times during his candidacy, during his sitting as president, 43 to 45 times. He beat the Clooneys, the De Niros.
Yeah, yeah.
He beat the Beyoncés. He beat the Jay-Zs. He beat the Springsteens. He beat the Bon Jovis. The important, what I'm saying, it's not Trump, it's the message. And the message is the people are tired of every one of those arrogant creeps that I talked about. They're tired of Hollywood. They're tired of the mainstream media. Hey, Jay-Z, you know what they tell you to go do? F you, Jay-Z, and along with the rest of you. They don't count. They only count in the mainstream media, which doesn't count. So we keep telling people it's a new opportunity. Forget what you like, what you don't like. It's new. People want new. Fill it with new. And then you take another element. And it's not only in the U.S. It's in, hey, anybody ever hear of Brexit? You know, stage right. We're out of here. Against the system.
Which you predicted as well.
They brought Obama in. They brought Abe in. They tried. They scared the hell out of people. That woman was killed, the MP, less than a week before the vote. And the people said, we want out of here. What I'm trying to tell the people is don't look at this. It's bigger than a political election. It's an opportunity for new. And you play the Trump card.
That's a brilliant point. Can I come in on that point? Can I just come in briefly on that point? Sorry to interrupt now. So then, I think what you're saying is this is much, much bigger. And even if... You know, even if I turn out to be right, and I've been wrong enough times, but if I turn out to be right and Trump just becomes another banker, shill, another Zionist, puppet, what you're saying, and I hope you're right, and I think David alluded to this at his talk in Manchester on Saturday, it might not matter because something has sparked something in people. And even if their support for Trump is misguided, and even if their support of Brexit turns out to be misguided, what I mean by that is if they get let down because backing Brexit was the right thing to do, what you're saying, I think, is it doesn't matter. Something big is coming, right?
Yeah, but it's there.
It's right
it's
here.
It's there. I just went through the names.
Yeah.
The billionaires, the Zuckerbergs. Hey, screw you. We don't give a good damn what you like. And you Silicon Valley guys with your, you know, your Silicon drag clothes all the time, with, you know, that black T-shirt and those crappy jeans, you're lost. We're tired of your crap. We're tired of you losers in Hollywood with your bad attitude, putting out crappy movies all the time, and you can't think past the seventh damn sequel. We're tired of your crap. We're tired of your mainstream media putting out your same fake news that leads us into war and has us hate other countries. We're tired of your rotten, stinking parties. Not only the Democrats. Here's a quote for you. This is less than a month before Election Day in the States. Paul Ryan abandons Trump in sign of Republicans losing U.S. vote hope. Party's top elected official distances himself. Shift comes as rival Clinton surges in polls. Trump didn't need the Republican Party. There's nothing there. It's an old man behind a curtain with a dog. It's the Wizard of Oz. What I'm telling people is take advantage of the situation. As I said to you when Brexit was going, when Brexit happened, if I was making product, I'd stamp that product, boom, made with pride in UK. And then I'd play the Trump card. And the Trump card is, if you're here in the States making, let's say, athletic footwear, made in USA, you play the Trump card. You start running commercials up there in Oregon where Nike Land is. Hey, Phil Knight, you lousy sellout, using slave labor to make your products and paying them slave labor wages so you could bring them over here and mock them up so you could become a billionaire. Buy our product made in USA. You play the Trump card, you take the top guy out. Just like Trump took out Jeb Bush, putting his hand on his shoulder in front of the international TV world. So, you know, you're really a nice guy, but you got the size of cojones of a mothball. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You play the Trump card. And what I'm telling people is you take advantage of the situation. Make America great again. Okay, when was the again? The same thing in Europe. They want the again. You start bringing out product from when you think the again used to be, whether it's in fashion, whether it's in music, whether it's in entertainment, whatever it might be, and you retrofit it for today. You use this as an example, rather than getting caught up emotionally in it, who I like, who I don't like. You know what I used to say. Campaign 2016, Hitler or Hitler?
That's right, yeah. I want to... This is great, Gerald. 22 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. Trendsresearch.com at Gerald Salente on Twitter. Gerald is with us now. It's terrific to have him on. I liked, before you talk about what you think, what you see happening in the first three and a half months, the 100 days, will he meet with Putin? Will he be true to those statements of making a better relationship with Russia and all of that? I'll ask you about that in a minute. But before that, I did like... Because I'm honest, you know, it's not black and white, there are shades of grey, which is what you're saying. I liked him talking about Merkel in the last couple of days. And I liked him criticising what the, you know, overwhelming of Germany with unchecked migrants, which is, again, not a black and white issue, what it had done to Germany. But I also liked him saying, you know, we need to build cars here. Why can't we build good cars in our country and not be dependent on German exports? And I love that, Gerald. And I imagine that people who are good with their hands, young men and women who can use a wrench, who can, you know, get their hands dirty, who understand a little bit about engines, what a wonderful boost that must have been to them. And if he honours that and he said, right, I'm going to spend a lot of money on building car factories and getting people back to work doing that. I like that. What did you make of that today? And also his comments on NATO, that NATO is obsolete. What did you think of that?
NATO is obsolete. Now, this is the hypocrisy of all those little cowardly liberals. We're right over here. We're just 15 minutes south of Woodstock. You could see with their quiche-eating grin and balsamic smiles. These are the people that had lockjaw as Obama, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, is slaughtering people in Libya, slaughtering people in Syria, back in Iraq, in Afghanistan. They should be cheering this, but they're little cowardly freaks. They're disappointed because their mass murderer, Hillary Clinton, you know that videotape, it's there for everybody to see.
Yeah.
The one when she's on CBS and they ask her, Secretary of State Clinton, how did you feel when you found out that Muammar Gaddafi was killed? And she straightens up, puts that psychotic smile on. We came. We saw he died. Yeah, that's the ones the liberals miss. They should be applauding Trump for making peace with Russia. They should be applauding Trump for saying no more toppling of these governments. We're making the situation worse than it was. But they're little cowardly freaks. They're the Bon Jovis, the Springsteens. They're the Cloonies and the De Niros. They're the Zuckerbergs and the Schmitz. That's who they are. They're the mainstream media. They're cowardly little people. Well, all these feminists that are going to go down there, where were you when the wars are going on? Obama killed over 4,000 innocent people, according to human rights organizations, with drone strikes.
22,000,
where is
yeah.
your outrage?
Yeah. The last year, wasn't it, Gerald? 22,000 bombs dropped by the Obama administration. So, of course, you're shaking your fist at the television screen during the Globes when Meryl Streep is talking about Trump allegedly mocking somebody with a disability, while as she was doing that, bombs are being dropped by drones all over the Pakistan-Afghanistan border, right?
Yeah, and let's not forget Yemen. Obama sold the Saudis more armaments than any other president for the destruction of a country that did nothing to anybody. These little liberals disgust me. These cowardly little freaks. Going back to Trump, what I don't like about Trump is his environmental thing stinks in my mind. I see what it is. He brought in a whole bunch of the Goldman Sachs gang. I don't dig that either. But at least there's something that I like. I like nothing from Obama. The liar in chief. He lied his way in. Or you liberals forgot that, didn't you? Yeah, remember the anti-war president, that one, yeah, who's been in war since he's been in office, the longest of any American president in history. Yeah, that anti-war president. Oh, the guy that just signed a law when nobody was watching last Thursday that allows the NSA to steal more of our privacy. Where are you, you little liberal cowards? I'll tell you where you are. I can't say it on the air, but... they're wankers. How about that?
They are wankers. You mentioned, right, the Goldman Sachs and the ExxonMobil appointees, Mnuchin and Tillerson and these people. And he has also surrounded himself with arch-Zionists and neocons. Why is that? Why has he done that? Has he already begun to let people down by doing that? Is he... I'm saying these days, and I know you'll disagree with me, I got the election wrong, you predicted it right. I thought that they were going to choose Hillary, and no matter what, well, they did choose Hillary, but they didn't win. They didn't count on the people doing what they did. But I'm now beginning to wonder if I was wrong about that, and if he was the Zionist choice all along. What about these Zionist people he surrounded himself with?
No, I don't buy into any of that.
Why?
This guy, again, this guy's been in the media all his life. He's a narcissistic celebrity. He's a reality show champion. That's one of the reasons why, you go back to our May 2015 Trends Journal, it was April. The cover read, "Liars, Cowards, Freaks, and Fools, Welcome to the Presidential Reality Show." This is 2 months before Trump got in. When he came in, we said, we got a reality show champion. He knows how to play the game better than anybody. And number two, it's the economy, stupid. Yeah, what was the report that just came out yesterday? 8 people in the world have more dough than half the world's population.
Than the poorest half, that's right. 8 people, yeah. Oxfam put that story out yesterday, yeah.
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 So it's the economy. So they're hoping that, and you mentioned about bringing jobs back. And Obama, the liar, the little liar. Hey, you liberals, that little liar Obama, that arrogant guy. Oh, I'm so glad he's gone too, man. I don't have to hear him saying folks anymore. Folks. Yeah, folk you. Yeah, I don't want to hear that one. Don't call me a folk. I'm not your folk. Yeah, I'm not on the plantation, so don't call me a folk. So anyway, what these little liberals keep forgetting about is that Obama, when he campaigned as the liar candidate going into the Rust Belt promising to renegotiate NAFTA, didn't do anything of the sort, pushed through more trade agreements, which are just deals for multinationals, and wanted to push through the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which Trump is killing. Where are the liberals supporting that? Nothing.
That's a great point, that, because I remember a couple of years ago, we began to play a little clip regularly of artists against TTIP, which is the other agreement, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, which you've written a lot about in the journal. By the way, trendsresearch.com, folks, subscribe to the journal. Gerald Celente is on the line. Yeah, you're right. Where were those actors and actresses and campaigners to congratulate what he'd been saying about TTIP? You're right. You see, but for everybody, it's black and white. You know, again, I keep going back to this. There are no shades of grey for these people. There are no shades of grey at all. What's he going to do then with respect to Russia? The reason I ask that, of course, is we've talked to Paul Craig Roberts, your friend and colleague, and Paul agrees that while Trump, the narcissistic personality you described him perfectly, probably doesn't want to escalate tension with Russia, probably does want to withdraw from the interventionist policies. I'm sure he does as an individual, but the people around him won't. And one of the ways they might pursue hostilities with Russia is through the back door of escalating things with Iran, which would, of course, absolutely piss off the Russians. How do you read that going forward? What about Russia in the first 100 days, Gerald?
Well, I think he's talking about meeting Putin. I think there's going to be... you see, the difference is all those people you mentioned, they're not cabinet members. They're senior vice presidents. Trump is going to run this like he runs a business. But he's already talking about meeting Putin. And here's the other thing, Richie.
Which is a great thing,
once,
right?
Once inauguration is over, the Democrats aren't going to have much of a voice anymore. The White House controls more of the media. So there's going to be less and less of what we're hearing. And here's all we heard since Election Day. Number one, the Russians hack. The Russians, the Russians, the Russians. Number two, vote recount, vote recount, vote recount. Number three, Electoral College, Electoral College, Electoral College. The Russians are hacking. Electoral College, vote recount. That's all we've been hearing day after day now since. Now, here's some other points. There's the media world, the political world, and the real world. In the real world, consumer confidence in the United States is at 2009 highs. In the real world, small business confidence had its biggest spike since 1980. That's when Ronald Reagan got elected. Number three, the stock market. From Election Day to New Year's Day, the biggest spike since 1952 when Dwight D. Eisenhower got elected. So you don't look past these things, or we don't as trend forecasters. So we don't get caught up in the media world and the political world without looking at the real world. And the real world is showing more prospects for better economic growth. On positive ways, no. But as trend forecasters, we call it what it is. And now, of course, I could say we could call a spade without anyone calling me racist, because Obama will be out of there. Because the other thing that Trump has killed, political correctness. Because there's nothing... Yeah. There's nothing correct about anything political, because most politicians, 99.999% of them, are either psychopaths or sociopaths. So there's nothing politically correct, and there should be a law that politicians should not run for office. So looking at Trump's economic policies, deregulation, again, areas that I don't approve of, but happening. Tax breaks for corporations, that means more profits and individuals. And the infrastructure rebuilding. So even though it's not that big on the infrastructure and only $100 billion a year out of almost a $4 trillion a year budget, it's still positive. Then you mentioned bringing jobs back with the automotive, with the air conditioning companies, and on and on and on. So those are positives. So we don't negate those.
I'm going to ask you a final question now on this. Imagine... I'm going to accept what you've said as fact. Now, when I say that, I'm not in any way trying to be disingenuous or a bit silly. You're right far, far more than you're wrong. I'm going to accept that this guy, however narcissistic, however crazy a media creation he might be, I'm going to accept, for the sake of the conversation, that he's, again, anti-interventionist. He's anti same old, same old. Doesn't want to be involved in wars and would like to do something for the average American. I'm going to accept that. You know, because you've been around the block many times, you forecast these trends over the years. The malevolence of the system that he seems to be, or we believe, or you believe, and many of my listeners believe that he's banging against, the malevolence of them, they're capable of anything. What's to say, and again, Paul Craig Roberts has talked about this, what's to say that he won't be manipulated by, let's just say, Gerald, a false flag terrorist event blamed on some group, something major, something like...
Nothing.
There's nothing.
Absolutely could happen.
It could happen,
it
right? Yeah.
It could happen, just like you said. It could happen.
And the pressure and he would come under then, right?
No, that's why nobody could predict the future. You know, you never know. You know, whether it's false flag or real, man-made or made by Mother Nature, there are always the wild cards. So we're talking absent the wild cards.
Absent of wild cards. But it is possible
absolutely possible.
CIA, NSA, yeah, they could do anything, yeah.
Right down to the point of everything you said.
You have a massively busy week ahead of you, no doubt. You'll be getting calls from all over the world ahead of Friday's inauguration. Folks, I can't recommend highly enough. Go to trendsresearch.com. Gerald is of course, on Twitter. Thousands of followers on there, tens of thousands, at Gerald Celente. It's updated all the time with interesting news. And the YouTube channel, Trends in the News, is fascinating. And as always, as I said, cutting edge, informative, funny as well. Gerald, thanks for your time today, my friend. Look after yourself. And I'm sure in the early spring we'll be chatting again. Look after yourself again.
Okay, always great talking with you, Richie. Thank you for all that you're doing.
Marvellous stuff. Gerald Celente, thank you, mate. On the line to us there from Brooklyn in New York City. The time exactly 7.5 minutes to the top of the hour. Quite a few comments came in during that segment. So after a very short break, I'll come back. And in fact, no, I'll take music. How about that for a change? Bit of music, no break, bit of music. This is Def Leppard, an animal on the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, alternatecurrentradio.com, and the TuneIn app. More from us in a couple of minutes after this. Yeah, Sheffield Boys, Joe Elliott and Def Leppard. Animal on your Richie Allen Show, the People's Radio Show on davidicke.com. Check out davidicke.com/headlines. Monday's programme, it is January the 16th, 2016, 4.5 minutes to the top of the hour. I have to say I'm looking forward to chatting with Ralph Epperson, the historian, author and lecturer in the second hour. Ralph is in his early 80s, which doesn't mean anything. Why am I saying that? Well, because for years Ralph has believed that history, the major events of the last, well, the last couple of centuries, have been manipulated, have been planned many, many years in advance. We're going to talk about that. He's produced and written a couple of best-selling books, including The Unseen Hand and a book called Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. So he's written several books, as well as producing DVDs. Fascinating guy. He joins us in the second hour. Some of your tweets then. Daniel Ford, whom I spoke to on Saturday, I was particularly pleased to chat with Daniel. I like Daniel. He mentioned a bit earlier on to me that he also understands that analogy I made earlier on about David arriving at a destination that's only going to be the springboard to much, much, much deeper things and greater things. That space station analogy I made, 27 years to get to this point, and now he's at the controls of some spaceship or some vehicle, and he's off on another exploratory journey. I really do believe that. Daniel said also maybe Trump was placed into power as a direct response to the awakening, to co-opt the awakening and redirect it. And that's an interesting point of view. Luga tweets, politics and politicians are in the realm of the moron in my book. Who could argue with that? Lawful Rebel tweets, very revealing stats from Gerald there. A lot of people happy to hear Gerald Celente back on the programme as well. Let me go down. Mark Atwood tweets, great show. Still managing to make us laugh in the middle of all the madness. Thanks, Gerald Celente. Follow Gerald personally on Twitter. It's at Gerald Celente there. La Antenna posted a really interesting story about fake news. Fascinating. I'll retweet that, actually. It's an old story in The Guardian about the corpse of Osama bin Laden. Do you remember that? The corpse of bin Laden. Now, I believe bin Laden died in 2001. In fact, it was widely reported by the mainstream media that bin Laden's health was so bad through the mid to late 90s, and it deteriorated terribly in 2001, and then he died. It was reported on the mainstream media that he died. And a lot of the videos of bin Laden put out after 9/11, do you remember these videos they used to put out where bin Laden appeared to be saying some things about, you know, great stuff, the jihad continues and I'm going to do more shit and I'm going to kill more people. And each time one of those videos would come out, bin Laden looked nothing like the previous incarnation in the previous video. So when they talk about fake news, but you see, this is the thing, one of the things, if I'd had longer with Gerald, one of the things I would have said to Gerald was, I would have said, look, it's great to see Trump shouting at the idiots from CNN and from other news companies. That's great, that. We all get a kick out of that because of the liars, because of the lies they've told. But there's also a very sinister side to that. And again, you know, not to keep mentioning him, but my pal has been saying for years, nothing is black and white, shades of grey. So on the one hand, oh yeah, it's marvellous. Yeah, he's fake news, you're scumbags. I'm not taking a question from you because you're going to tell lies. Marvellous. It seems to be marvellous, but it's not. Because if it's easy for Trump and others to shut down CNN and not allow them to ask questions, it's even easier for the establishment to shut down the independent media. Do you get what I'm saying there? Do you get where I'm going with that? I didn't find it too funny when he was refusing to take a question from CNN, irrespective of how badly they behaved in the election cycle. You know, it's not good. Because ultimately what they want, the people behind Trump, in my opinion, is to shut down the media entirely, mainstream and independent. Again, it's not black and white. So I understand people laughing, oh, it's brilliant to see those guys getting treated like that. Well, there's a flip side to that. On the media, I want to say hi to Gregory O'Brien, who's a mate of mine, who sends me interesting things. I don't always reply to Gregory, not because I'm rude, but because there's a lot going on during the day. But I do occasionally drop him a line just to let him know that I am getting his emails. But he sent me an interesting clip today of Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, who's now saying, proper flip-flop on this, in an article in The Telegraph, that the European Union has more to lose from a hard Brexit than the UK. Well, we've been saying this forever. All of us associated with the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com and David Icke and others. We've all been saying this. He's done an absolute about-turn on his previous dire warnings that there would be economic catastrophe for the UK if the UK left the European Union. He's now saying, well, they have more to lose than us. And I've been banging on about this for a year. They sell more to us. That's it, game over. Tariffs, my arse. Lorries piled up on borders with British goods being held in a kind of a stasis going nowhere. Balls. Ain't going to happen. They sell more to us. And even today, some bureaucrat, some muppet from the European Union was still maintaining Britain is going to have to be punished. They're going to have to be charged a lot of money to leave to dissuade other countries from doing it. What a load of cock! Excuse my language. Garbage. And you see, if you had real politicians, if you had a real government, if there were really people elected to look out for Britain's interests, they would laugh out loud, they would go on Sky News, they would go on the BBC, and they would laugh and go, we'll see about that. We're leaving, we're gone, there'll be no tariffs, there'll be no paying anybody, we're out. So Mark Carney's done an about-turn, that's interesting, that. But you can't trust them as far as you can throw them, you know, so I don't know what's going on. I don't know why he would be saying that now. Exactly 2 minutes past the hour then, quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting, and I know you're going to really enjoy this, with Ralph Epperson, historian, author and lecturer. He's an interesting guy. After these...
Do not risk putting another pound in your bank account until you've heard this message. It's Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my brand new book, The Road to Ruin. Visit theroadtoruin.co.uk for full details now. Inside, I uncover the financial elite's secret ICE-9 plan to take full control of your hard-earned cash. To see how, visit theroadtoruin.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. Claim your free copy at theroadtoruin.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Richie Allen.
And you're welcome back to the second hour of the programme. Do check out our broadcast partners, alternatecurrentradio.com. They've got a wonderful broad and diverse mix of programmes. alternatecurrentradio.com, Hessian the gang. Also Fab Radio 2, more entertainment based, but again devoid of all the commercial crap. Interest in alternative comedy, alternative news, alternative music, great stuff. And do bookmark davidicke.com/headlines as well. Tweets have been flying in. Fluffles tweets, we need a reality first, Richie, in order to have a real government. Again, I can't argue with that. JP tweets, you cut a tree from the top and you save the roots. The mighty can't fall. And he tweets a cartoon there that's very interesting. And I've tweeted it now, retweeted that even as well. La Antenna came back on to say, the irony that we all have to submit to biometric facial scans, which all those different bin Ladens would fail. It's a very good point as well. Stevie tweets, how is Trump going to deal with the Israel situation in light of UN Resolution 2334, two-state solution, and Iran's uranium? Again, Stevie, this is interesting And I'm fascinated by that, how he's going. If the guy is in some way, in any way real, which I don't really believe he is, but if he is, and I'm wrong, how is he going to deal with all of that, considering whom he has surrounded himself with? Filling the swamp rather than draining it, as somebody said very recently as well. There was an interesting tweet from Gail there. Gail tweets, old Trumpy just might surprise us all and do what he said he's going to do. He might surprise us, says Gail there. Spirit Samba tweets, great stuff from the brilliant Gerald Celente. Plenty more tweets as well. David tweets, history is a story that gives a population a sense of pride in their nation. Interesting stuff there. To see what other people are tweeting, you simply have to go to Twitter and put Richie Allen Show, all one word, in. And if you press enter there, you will be put into, you'll be able to see what other people are tweeting. And if you want to engage with those people, you can do that. Engage with others. And it's nice to be polite, even when you don't disagree with people. I don't think we've ever got much nonsense on our Twitter feed. It generally tends to be very patient and very fair and very balanced in terms of how people interact, which is good. Now, our next guest is a historian, an author, and a lecturer. Now, for decades, he's been researching the conspiratorial view of history, the idea that the major events of the past have been planned years in advance, maybe even centuries in advance, by a central conspiracy. He's written best-selling books on the subject, many of them. We're going to tweet links to his website and where you can find his books. Books including The Unseen Hand and Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. Terrific to welcome to the programme, Ralph Epperson. Ralph, welcome to the show. How are you?
Fine, Richie. Thank you very much. I'm here in Tucson, Arizona. It's a crummy, cloudy day with rain. That's not much fun. But anyway, I'm here. I'm ready to go.
Good to have you on. And crummy and cloudy, but it's not always crummy and cloudy. It's a nice part of the world, Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, have you ever been here?
No, I'd love to. I've been to the east coast of the U.S., but I've always dreamed about doing the old Route 66, traveling to southern states, heading out towards Arizona and then Nevada. I'd love it. I'd love to be there. Yeah, evocative of all those great books, Norman Mailer, all these great authors, all the films, of course. Yeah, it looks great, Ralph. Maybe I'll come and visit you someday.
Happy to have you. Just call me and let me know.
Yeah, and that's true too. I'll hold you to that. Now, before we talk about how you got into writing about the things you've been writing about, our listeners are dying to know what you think about the inauguration this week. What you think about Donald Trump? Where does he fit into the grand scheme of things and the overall conspiracy? What do you make of Trump?
Well, we'll start with that. I can't, even today, with only less than a week to go before he's inaugurated, I can't determine whether he's legitimate or not. We don't know. So let me say, I'll give you a little background. I first got involved with this battle of discussing and learning about the conspiratorial view of history back in the 1960s when I worked as a volunteer in the Goldwater campaign. I voted for Barry Goldwater, but later on, shortly thereafter, I started to discover that both political parties are controlled by the same people, and I was going to discuss that in a minute, if you wish.
Of course.
To prove it. So then I realized that I couldn't vote for a Democrat or Republican because it doesn't matter. It's like a wrestling match. The promoter decides which guy's going to win and which guy's going to lose in advance. And then they perform and we scream our heads off and believe it's real. That's what we've had for 60 years. But anyway, this posed a real problem for me because I really thought that Donald Trump was legitimate. I was hoping, in fact, I'm still hoping he is. I can't determine yet because he hasn't proven it yet. I'll give you something to think about for you. Maybe I presume you live in England. Is that correct?
That's right, Ralph. Yeah, I'm in the northwest of England in Manchester.
Okay. A thing that I learned probably 50 years ago was a one-liner. One way they look, another way they steer. We have to remember it doesn't matter what he says. It's what he does.
Yeah.
One way they look. I'm going to give you A, B, C, D, and then one way they steer to E, F, G, and H. So this is the problem. I believe that Donald Trump so far is legitimate with, I'll give you one piece of evidence. I checked the listing on the Council on Foreign Relations on the internet, And that is one of the major groups that controls this nation. They're down lower in the hierarchy, but if you want to get anywhere in this world, you got to join the CFR. And so far, the first 13 of his cabinet positions were not, I repeat, not members of the CFR. Now, that's a good beginning, but once again, it could all be about show. So the next step will be, of course, what he does with the executive orders. That'll be a good clue. If he's legitimate, he's going to eliminate what Barack Obama's been doing without constitutional authority. And then the next step will be the Supreme Court justice. But the Supreme Court justice that he will appoint will be a conservative, because Scalia was a conservative, and they want to get back to the 5-4 liberal majority. The next one will be the key, because if it's a liberal, he's going to, if he appoints a liberal, then we know he's part of the process and not part of the solution. So until these things happen, I'm still holding my opinion that maybe, just maybe, he's legitimate and he really will do what he needs to do to save this country.
By the way, it's ralph-epperson.com. We've just tweeted that out there, by the way, and we'll retweet it again. That's where you're going to find Ralph. Ralph, you know, you don't have to be Lieutenant Colombo to think that the assassination of President John Kennedy must have had a big impact on your development and your research back in the 60s.
Yes, it's just interesting that you mentioned that, because I've been just looking into it, you know, I've been looking into it for 50 years probably. But let's point out, there's a quote that I had never heard before from him, and I've even actually got it quoted here, if you just give me a minute, because it boggles the mind, because I have never heard this until maybe a year ago. But he said it in 1961. John Kennedy, it's just one sentence. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. That quote would have changed my opinion of John Kennedy. Well, I'd have to do more, but at least start the process. Maybe he was legitimate as well. That's an amazing concession on his part, a confession, if you will. He actually said that. Yeah, you can hear it yourself if you go to his website, his library, and you can read the words yourself. So if I had known that, it would have changed my opinion. I probably still would have voted for Goldwater, because I had read some of his books and was believing in what he had to say. So I had a real problem with deciding to vote for him, because he's, quote, a Republican. But he's not. He's anti-Republican. He's, I believe, a real patriot. But once again, one way they look, another way they steer.
This is interesting stuff, Ralph. I'm loving this. By the way, you know, around about that time, of course, it wasn't, when Kennedy said that about secrecy, which is a brilliant quote, and I'm delighted you brought it up. I hadn't heard that quote for a long time. But it wasn't long after the outgoing president, Dwight D. Eisenhower, gave his famous military-industrial complex speech, which might be, you know, arguably one of the most, if not the most important speeches ever given by a president. Because he basically laid it out, didn't he? This is what's going on. You know, the military-industrial complex is basically in the process of taking over the country.
Well, if I may, can we discuss that? Because I have a differing opinion.
Yes, of course. Go ahead. I'm fascinated, Ralph.
Please. That's quite all right. Thank you very much. Let me ask you this, Richie. What role does the government play in the military-industrial complex?
Now, I would have said, as a former commercial radio presenter and producer, I would have said the government's role is in giving out contracts to the companies.
Well, yeah, but that, even then, that's part of the, they're in the process.
Right.
Let me say this, Richie. Please understand, I'm going to try to prove that that statement that Eisenhower made is a bold-faced lie, and he knew it was a lie. Let me tell you how we know that. It's really a government industrial complex that uses the military to get to their goals. Let me prove that to you. You might remember that way back in the towards the middle or the end of the World War II, Eisenhower was Supreme Allied Commander, and he was in England, getting the army ready to attack and go through France to defeat the Germans. And President Franklin Roosevelt learned that he was having an affair with his chauffeur, a woman by the name of Kay Summersby. He learned about this and said, if this ever got out into the media, this would be a disaster for his cause. And he ordered him to come back, Eisenhower, to come back to the United States and be seen with Mamie out in public, that everything's fine. And he was ordered to transfer Kay out of his unit. So he did that. He came back to the United States and then returned, of course, after he'd satisfied the media that he and his wife were okay. Secondly, General MacArthur wanted to bomb the bridges over the Alu River in the Korean War, when he was the Supreme Allied Commander, the equivalent of the leading general over there. And he was ordered by Truman not to do that, and he was going to do it anyway. Truman called him and ordered him to come to Hawaii. And when he got to Hawaii, Truman fired him. Now, wait a minute. How could he fire if it's a military industrial complex? MacArthur would say, listen, stick it in your ear. We're in charge, not you. You obey my orders. I don't obey yours. But he didn't do that. He came back and was fired because it's a government industrial complex that uses the military. One more example. There's a bunch of work out on the career of General Smedley Butler.
Yes.
Smedley Butler was at the time this nation's probably most popular high-ranking general. And Smedley Butler was ordered constantly to go down to Latin America with his troops to bail out dictators or force them to make the payments back to the banks that had loaned these dictators in Latin America money, and they wouldn't pay back. So Smedley Butler said this is a misuse of his things and made it public. And, of course, he was ordered. He went. He could have said to the president, stick in your ear, I'm not going. But he went because the commander-in-chief of the military, and every general knows this, is the president of the United States. And just one more little incidental evidence of that. You'll notice, you probably see it on your television over there in England, you'll notice when Barack Obama walks back to the helicopter, the Marine, I presume it is, standing at the little walkway, the stairway, gives him a salute, and Barack Obama salutes him back.
Yeah.
Barack Obama's a civilian. No, he's commander-in-chief. He's the number one general. Generals salute Barack Obama. So keep it in mind. It's a military industrial complex that uses the military to achieve their goals.
You said, there's so much to get into, and there's so much to talk about in the next half an hour, 35 minutes, that I don't want to waste too much time nitpicking. But it was still, I mean, you said it was a bold-faced lie by Eisenhower, but it was still a powerful thing to say, though, because it at least gave people, you know, it gave people clues, didn't it? Even if, and by the way, I agree with you. Of course, it's the commander-in-chief and the cabinet and those around him who make these decisions to go to war and bomb the hell out of, you know, poor people in third world countries. But still, why did Eisenhower do that then?
Okay, I'll tell you why.
Good question.
You might remember the McCarthy days of Senator Joseph McCarthy. McCarthy, I covered this all in The Unseen Hand. I got probably the best review of the McCarthy era is in my book, The Unseen Hand, I wrote in 1985. Let's go back. McCarthy learned that there was a conspiracy, and he learned it from James Forrestal, who was there at the Yalta, Tehran, and Potsdam conferences to end World War II. And there he learned how our government built the Iron Curtain. They sat down and on paper with Stalin, decided which countries would be communist and which would not be communist. And Forrestal saw that as a problem and told Senator McCarthy that there were communists in our government. Now, as long as you look down into the Communist Party and the meetings of the Communist Party in the basement with the smoke, then you're hailed as a great American patriot. But he found McCarthy found the link between the communists and the government. That means Eisenhower. Eisenhower had communists surrounding him. And when he found that, Eisenhower, as you'll read in The Unseen Hand, sat down with the people that determined we had to get McCarthy. And they to throw the people off of the trail between the conspiracy and the Communist Party, he came up with this military-industrial complex, which means we're supposed to be looking that way and not the real way. And that's what it was for, in my opinion.
This is
in
great, Ralph.
He was throwing us off the scent, which is the government controls communism, and I was going to prove that today as well.
Well, you know, the book's The Unseen Hand. I've had a tweet from Mark Atwood, who wants to thank you, because the Unseen Hand, which was published in 1985, Mark says that was the book that got him on the road to researching what's going on. So that's a lovely tweet, that. We've got Ralph Epperson on the line. As the New World Order, The Unseen Hand, amongst these books. We've tweeted his website where you can find it. It's exactly 21 minutes past the hour, lots to get into. Now, you know, because you've been doing this for years and years and years and years and years, men and women, our friends, our neighbours, our family, Ralph, they shake their head in disbelief when people like you, and when I say people like me, I've not done the research you've done. I'm a reporter, but I've spoken to people like you for years, and I agree with much of what you have to say. So I would agree that, long planned by an international conspiracy, they shake their heads, don't they, Ralph? They can't get their heads around that. It doesn't compute with them. How could that be possible? How do you go about explaining that to people?
Because this conspiracy is real, and it's been active in this country since it was founded. This country was set up by the founding fathers to fail. And I'm now proving that as well. In fact, you can now go. There's three different radio interviews I've done, all on the internet, in which I discuss the evidence that our founding fathers gave Congress total unlimited power, which means they're operating with that even today in the United States. They have total unlimited power given to them by the founding fathers.
How did they do that now? Not to interrupt you. And by the way, this is a live radio program with the biggest independent media audience in Europe, and you're here to explain that. How did the founding fathers, what decisions did they make in order to make the country fail, to give all that power to Congress, and whom were they acting on behalf of?
Okay, let's take it step by step. Let's do the first how. Anyone can verify this, and it was done by your English Parliament in 1766. It's called the Declaratory Act. Declaratory, D-E-C-L-A-R-A-T-O-R-Y, Declaratory Act, which gave King George, as you will read with your own eyes, the power to bind the people and colonies of America with the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever. That means all. Words have meaning. We know what the word meant, just like you knew what the word meant. Your parliament knew all meant all. There's no limit to the power granted to King George in the Declaratory Act of 1766. We lived under that law for 10 years. In 1776, when we declared our independence, the reason we did was because of the Declaratory Act. And you will read in the Declaration of Independence that our founding fathers said that your king, because we in America were English subjects as well, he had the power to suspend our legislatures and declare his own legislators with the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever, which means our founding fathers knew precisely about the Declaratory Act. They used the same four words, in all cases whatsoever. There's no question. This was the reason we declared our independence. Now, we in America have been lied to and told it was taxation without representation. Wrong. I've covered this way back in 85. It's been estimated that the gross taxes of the English government on America was less than 1%. We're now paying 50%, and we're not objecting. So that's not the reason. The Declaration of Independence says it's clearly the fact that it's created an absolute tyranny. The word tyranny still is defined as total power. Now, 11 years later, we wrote the Constitution. We divided the power, but when we created the Congress, we delegated the power in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, to give Congress the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever. You cannot ignore this. It's right there in front of us and has been there for 200 years. The power to legislate in all cases whatsoever means exactly that.
Means
all
exactly that.
Means all.
Now, it's I touched on this, Ralph. I touched on this a minute ago. I touched on it when I said acting on behalf of whom. And I want to go back to that because you spoke about the Commander-in-Chief and how he, of course, has supreme authority over the military. And of course, you're right. You don't need me to tell you you're right. You've been researching this for decades. But you are right, of course. But now we come to the hidden hand. Who is appointing these people? You spoke very eloquently earlier on about it being a rigged game. You mentioned wrestling as a brilliant analogy. The result has been predetermined. By who?
Well, this is the toughest question to answer because, once again, a conspiracy is defined as people with an evil purpose who work in secret and two or more people. That's the problem. A conspiracy works in secret. We've got to dig it out. Now, I've been digging this thing out by reading well over 1,100 different titles on this subject, as many as I can by anyone who writes on either side. I'll give you a beginning clue. We can know a little bit about it. Now, I don't know whether you people in England carry dollar bills around, but we in America use it as our currency. And on the back of the dollar bill, there's two circles. And we'll make this as brief as I can. If we go to the left-hand side of the circle and the pyramid, I presume England, you know what our dollar bill looks like?
Yes.
So you know, okay. So yeah. You know there's a pyramid, and then there's Latin words above it and below it. And they read Annuit Septis Novos Ordo Seclorum. Annuit means announcing or the announcement of. Septis is their Latin word for conception, meaning the birth of, announcing the birth of the Novos Ordo Seclorum. Novos, new, Ordo, order, seclorum, world. Now, in my dictionary, and probably even in yours, there's a word called secular, which is defined as government with no God. That's what we got. The new world order will be a government without God. Now, who gave us the new world order? In our that design was created in 1782, 5 years before we even created our own constitution. So they were creating this nation to announce the birth of the New World Order. Now, let's take the next step. If you go to the other side, there's a eagle, and the eagle's kind of flat with his wings outspread, but above it is what they call a burst. And a burst contains, if you'll notice, it's hard to see because it's kind of small, but there's a six-pointed star there made of 13 five-pointed stars. So if you draw the lines to make the six-pointed star, ignoring the star in the center, you'll have a pyramid facing down and a pyramid facing up. And if you pick that up and lay it down on the other side of the seal, on top of it, you'll notice if you lay it down with the top line of the pyramid looking down, underneath or be actually on top of the pyramid, and then the bottom line will be the bottom of the second pyramid pointing up. You'll notice that five of the 6 points point to letters. Now, of course, there's a space between Annuit and Septis. So the I'll use a clock. At 10 o'clock, that point points to it. A, and then we got a blank, and then the 2 o'clock points to an S, and then down at 8 o'clock it points to an N in Novus. The 6 o'clock points to the second O in Ordo, and the 4 o'clock points to the M. A S N O M. A S N O M. Now there's a word in, I presume, the English language as well, called anagram. An anagram is the scrambling of the letters to conceal the real word. A-S-N-O-M is an anagram for M-A-S-O-N. Do you see that? The Masons were concealing the fact that they set this nation up. The Masons. Now, we just read where John Kennedy said, beware the groups that are secret with secret oaths and secret proceedings. Guess who has secret oaths, secret proceedings, and secret meetings?
Masonic
lodges. Masons.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a good beginning. Now, of course, that's very hard to convince anyone who's just, wait, I've been a Mason for 50 years. But I'm telling you, that's where we are. Let me give you a couple of clues. On the cover, I think it's on the inside page of my book, The New World Order, it says, Masonry is the most powerful organization in the land. Huh? The most? Second to none, yes. It is an ordainer of kings. Its hand has shaped the destinies of worlds. This was written by, these two quotes in two different books were written by one of the leading Masons of all time, a man by the name of Manly P. Hall, who wrote voluminously on the occult, secret occult, secret of not only the Masons, but of the ancient mystery religion, you name it. He's a very voluminous, and also, by the way, a 33rd degree Mason. So he's, this man, if anyone knew about the Masons, it's Manly Palmer Hall. The most powerful organization in the land, the most powerful organization in the land can set it up as they did, as we just saw with the anagram of the word Mason concealed around the Great Pyramid on our Great Seal of the United States.
28 minutes to the top of the year. Ralph Epperson is on the line. Ralph-Epperson.com is the website. Now, there are more than just the Masons in terms of secret societies. We talk,
oh, yes.
We talk a lot about Zionism. Zionism is basically a secret society. And we talk about the banking cartels. Where do the banking cartels, in your opinion, the banking families, the House of Rothschild, the Rockefellers, the Warburgs, the Oppenheimers, in your opinion, where do they fit into this?
Well, Kurt, let's take it step by step. Let's go back to the Rothschilds. Many people believe the Rothschilds are the bankers that control the world. Wrong. Let me give you a little evidence. Bill Clinton in 1992, when he was accepting the Democrat national nomination, gave a speech which was covered by, at that time, three major networks and maybe CNN, I don't know, but at least all networks were, you couldn't watch Roxanne anymore or I Dream of Jeannie because you had to watch the president. In that speech, he told America with his own mouth that there was an international conspiracy at work in the world and that it controlled all of the governments, the economies of the world through central banks. And then he praised a doctor by the name of Carol Quigley. Carol Quigley, who was a professor, as Clinton said, at Georgetown University when Bill Clinton went to school there. So in 1966, Quigley published this book called Tragedy and Hope. Now, it's a very boring, tedious work. If you want to know what's in that book, you can get the essence of it in a little DVD I've got on the internet called Bill Clinton's Conspiracy. Find it and watch it, and you'll learn what Bill Clinton, by documentation, what Bill Clinton was taught by Dr. Carol Quigley. In that book, he named 12 banking families, not just the Rothschilds, 11 more. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've been researching this thing for 50 years. When I read that list, I recognized three and only three of those names. Rothschild, Morgan, and the third was, I've forgotten, I think it was the Seligmans. Other than that, I've never heard of those other nine. They're buried. But Quigley found him because he claimed he'd been made privy to the papers of the conspiracy when he was working before he got his PhD at Harvard. So he wrote the book, The Tragedy and Hope, and admitted there were 12 banking families, and he claimed he found that material in their, quote, secret papers, unquote. Now, secondly, let me point out to you, this conspiracy that I've discovered is not just new. It's not 2,000 years old. It's 6,000 years old, which predates everything. And I want to, well, this opens up, and boy, you, this is going to, if I say this is going to need 4 hours to cover it. But this thing bears its foundation on a belief in Satan, Lucifer, the devil. He said, that's impossible. I just said, it takes 4 hours to cover that. But if you want to see it and read about it, it's in my second book called The New World Order. And if you want to read The Unseen Hand first, then read The New World Order. And I'm telling you, you'll learn about this worship of Satan, which is worldwide and 6,000 years old. There's no question it's real.
Now, this is where, you see, I think this is absolutely brilliant. And I'm not patronizing you. I think it's fantastic. I'm going to be the petulant younger man who's not researched as much as you, and I'm going to put a couple of points to you where I slightly disagree. You mentioned these banking families and Zionism. You see, I would ask you to tell me why today in 2017, we've just turned 2017, Jewish Americans make up, and by the way, I'm not David Duke here or any of these people. I'm not in any way, you know, hateful of Jews. I'll explain myself. Jewish Americans make up less than 2% of the country. And from what I can understand, Ralph, most Jewish Americans are not Zionists and they don't subscribe to or support the racist, horrible ideology of Zionism. Yet, throughout recent history, your country's administrations have been filled to the brim with what we would call Rothschild Zionists. And I would go a step further. If you look at the royal families of the world, the royal families of Europe, and anybody with a computer can have a look. These families, these banking families, these arch Zionists interbreed and intermarry with the royal families of Europe. And that's going way back. So I would say that that's incredibly significant, that too, in terms of the overall conspiracy. What do you think?
Well, let's just examine that. I want to point out to you that I've read materials on the Zionist conspiracy repeatedly for 60 years, and I'm not convinced it is, and I'll tell you why. The Rothschilds are not Jews. Now, wait a minute.
I agree.
They're not Jews. I'll give you a good example. Let me give you a good example. Karl Marx, the father of communism in the 1840s or so, his father was he was born in a Jewish family of a Jewish mother and father. He was a member, I presume, of the synagogue locally. And his father was a civil servant. And his father decided that apparently, this is a presumption, I've never read this, but anyway, his father became a Christian. And I believe the reason he did so, this is a theory, was because he realized in those years that he couldn't get promoted because he was Jewish. So he said, I'm going to change and become a Christian. Well, Karl Marx read that information. He read the Bible. Karl Marx accepted Jesus as his Savior. Karl Marx actually was baptized into the Christian faith. But then he went to college. And when he went to college, I don't know where, he went to college, he admits in his own writings that he got involved with a satanic cult led by a priestess named Joanna Southcott, who claimed to be in touch with a demon named Shiloh. And that's when she taught Karl Marx that Christianity was wrong, there was no Jesus, and that the world that Christianity has created was chaos, and that we had to leave the world and change all that, and that he should become a communist. And that's when he wrote the manifesto and became a communist. But notice what he did. He went from being a Jew to a Christian to a Luciferian, a Satanist. Karl Marx was a Satanist. If you read about Adolf Hitler was a Satanist. He got involved with a group called the Thule, T-H-U-L-E, you pronounce it as you will, Thule Society, and you can read the writings in several of the books about Adolf Hitler, that he embraced what he learned in the Thule Society, and there was a man by name, I was going to name him, but I'm not sure at the moment. I can't remember his name. But he said that people will look at Adolf Hitler, but it is I who controls him. and he was, that man was a Luciferian. So let's go back to the Rothschilds.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask a quick question on that? This is really good, Ralph. I don't want to be interrupting you.
No, go ahead.
You're absolutely right, of course, to say that the Zionists are not Jewish. Of course not. I would believe, and I do believe, that they were a secret society, and through that, they set up much of what you've already described. But I want to just make one point. I've come to learn over the last few years through reading several researchers and books and watching several presentations. It's incredible to me and brilliant to me that you talked about going back 6,000 years ago. We know through the Gnostic writings that there was a massive change in our, I suppose, in our lives, in our experience on Earth about 6,000 years ago. And could I put it to you that the Satanists that you described, and again, I wouldn't argue with that, I think you're absolutely bang on, that what they were worshipping were what the Gnostics talked about, the jinn or the archon entities, these interdimensional energies, and that they began to manipulate and distort their perception. And it's these entities that work through the Zionists and the Masons and these other secret societies that have perverted everything. Christianity, whether you believe in Jesus or not, but the teachings of Christianity are fundamentally sound and are wonderful. Do you not see that? That's a very, very strong possibility. The Gnostics and the Archons.
Well, I unfortunately don't know much about that, but I will say this just in response. Even Jesus talked about this when he was talking to the Pharisees. I think it was in the Sadducees. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." Now, these were the leaders of the Jewish faith. Now, that means that there was a conspiracy inside of Judaism. This conspiracy has infiltrated Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, you name it. And Jesus was one of those who admitted it. He admitted, "You people are at the very top, worship Satan, your father." They called him Satan the devil. "So you are of your father, the devil." Now, that means that they've infiltrated even Judaism. So, the Rothschilds yes. have to denounce their Jewish history to become Luciferians. If they decide to go back to Judaism, they're not going to be around anymore. This conspiracy is 6,000 years old, and it's based totally on a belief in Satan, the devil, that goes all the way back to the Egyptians, when it was first started. And I can trace it back in their own literature. That it's 6,000 years old. This is Albert Pike talked about them, Ralph, connecting it back.
Your books are, listen, I'm going to mention again, you're absolutely right. Nobody could argue what I just said there. It's 100% right. I'm just throwing out the suggestion that what they thought was Satan, what they were worshipping, was in fact something maybe different. But that in no way contradicts what you've said there. It's absolutely brilliant stuff. I want to mention, it's ralph-epperson.com. Unseen Hand is the New World Order. We mentioned other books that Ralph has written. If you put his name into YouTube, you'll find all the videos. Again, we'll tweet those links out so that you can find those videos and watch more and hear more of Ralph a bit later on. I'm delighted you're on the program, Ralph. It won't be the last time we talk, I don't think. Thanks for doing it. Ralph is in Tucson, Arizona, right about now. I've got to ask you this, right? It's a boring question, but I must ask it. How in the name of all that's important do you get somebody who is not willing to consider this? How do you introduce this to people, Ralph?
Well, it's very simple, and I say this, I've said this, of course, this applies to America. I've said this, if we don't convince middle America, the average American, the man who works 8-10 hours a day and's got a wife who also works, the kids are going to high school, and he goes to the high school football games and bowls in the Monday Night League and does all these things. If we don't convince him that there's something wrong in America, we lose the country. This country is on the verge and could go at any moment totally out to the New World Order. In fact, in my second book, actually, I predicted the date. I wrote it in 1990. I predicted the date 2000, the New World Order was supposed to start, and it didn't start. But I didn't predict it. I covered it as an historian. I found that was the date, and it didn't happen. I'd have to talk about that to explain what did happen and where I found it. But I can assure you that was their official date, the 1st of January of the year 2000. The New World Order was supposed to start. I covered that, documented it. It's in my New World Order. I covered it in a tour of the United States in 1985 to 87 with my first book. I spoke in 91 cities and 31 states talking about the coming New World Order in the year 2000. Not that I was predicting it or even prophesying it. I was saying this is what this conspiracy wants. Well, it didn't happen. So I'm saying we are in trouble, and if we don't convince the average American, we lose the country. And when America goes, notice it's a new world. It's going to be worldwide. It's not just us. England's going to fall. The rest of the world, we're all going to live under a new world order.
Well, unless people wake up to it. Now, you did mention at the very beginning of the chat, we talked a little bit about Trump. Just to reiterate, you did kind of say earlier on that, again, to be fair to you, you said that at the moment the jury is out with Trump. But from what you've been saying, Ralph, it leans towards Trump is just going to be another easily manipulated and easily controlled president by those that we've been talking about, right?
Well, see, once again, remember what I said.
Yeah.
One way they look, another way they steer. Please understand, I'm quite aware of that. And I didn't quite finish my thought. So when I came to deciding how to vote in this election, I've always voted since Goldwater for a third party. I have not voted for one Democrat or one Republican, but I voted every 4 years for president. And I've always voted for a third party. But I had a problem because I supported what Trump was saying he wanted to do, because what he wants to do is save this country. And of course, we know that the establishment in the Republican Party doesn't want him to do that. The media in this country doesn't want him to be elected. So he's up against all that. So once again, he's in a very precarious position. If he's legitimate, he's going to save this country. Now, he's going to find opposition every time he turns around, even within his own party, meaning, and especially the Democrats. They're going to oppose everything this man does. So we, the people, have got to instruct our congressmen and senators, we want you to do what Trump wants to do, to save this country. Now, whether or not he does remains to be seen. As I told you, I'm still open. I'm hedging my bet. I'm praying that he's right and we'll get a chance to do it, and that the people in this country will understand. Let me make one more comment. Something like 60% of the American people sense there's something wrong in America. And they're right. Something is wrong in America.
So, Ralph,
but they don't know why it's wrong.
Well, see, this
That's
is brilliant
my job.
Now.
To show them there's a conspiracy.
And Gerald Celente was on the program in the first hour, and I put this question to him, and I'll put it to you, and we're going to run out of time in about 4 minutes. So it doesn't really matter if Trump turns out to be another, you know, banking and big business controlled stooge, because ultimately you think that the lid has been lifted off now. People are horrified, they are hurt, they are disgusted by the media and everything else. And if they find out that they've been duped by Trump, they're not going to be disappointed and just return back to their homes and continue to take the crap, excuse my language. You think that this is a good thing, that there's something big coming, right? They're standing up, and even if they're misguided in supporting Trump, it doesn't matter, that the lid is off, basically, right?
Yes, but once again, if Trump is controlled by the Congress and by the media, what we're going to get is we're going to get Hillary 2A.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. As I said, both parties are controlled by the same people. That means that the people, even in the Republican Party, are controlled at the very top layers, and they worked very hard, and they're still working very hard to stop Trump. That's a clue that maybe the man's legitimate, but it could also be, as you pointed out, maybe the goal is for us, those of us who supported him, are going to be very disappointed and get very angry, and maybe we'll go out in the streets and demand that this change. I don't know. That could
be
of the dangers of this whole thing, and I'm quite aware of it. I know that they tried to manipulate us to get out in the streets, anyone, either our side or the left, to control and cause riots and everything else, to demand change, and they might want to impose martial law. I don't know. I'm surely aware of that. I'm praying, as I said, and I ask people on Facebook to pray that Donald Trump is legitimate and it's time to let him do what he wants to do and encourage our senators and congressmen to go along with it.
Ralph, will you do us a favor? Will we pick this up again in February and will we do a longer segment? The program lasts about 2 hours, so we could do 90 minutes or an hour 45. Because I wasn't being arrogant earlier on when I said the size of the audience. It is massive. And an enormous amount of questions came in during the conversation. And I did get to most of them. But I think our listeners would love to hear from you again in more depth on another program. If you were up for that, we'd be thrilled to have you back on.
You're very kind, Rick. Let me point out one thing. People can go to eBay. Everyone, I presume, knows what that is. You can get on the computer, go to eBay, type in the Unseen Hand and read the 7 reviews. And please trust me, I did not write those. I didn't pay people to write them. In fact, I didn't even know there was an eBay until a couple of years ago. Somebody said, you got to read the reviews on eBay. Please do that. And you're going to see people like saying, this is the best history book I've ever read. These people say, every American should read The Unseen Hand. You said one of your listeners, I guess in the chat room or wherever it is, talked about how it got him started.
That's right, Mark, yeah.
You can't know the number of people who write to me or call me that say the same thing. You've changed my whole life because of The Unseen Hand. Please read that book. Now, I want...
I couldn't have made a better ad than that, by the way. That's an outstanding ad, by the way. I couldn't have made one better myself. Well, I say tongue in cheek. No, listen, I'm happy for you to promote it. I've mentioned it. We've tweeted where people can get it. Unseen Hand, The New World Order, the other books we mentioned at the top of the show. I'm going to give you the final word because we're rapidly running out of time. You've got 30 seconds. You've the final word, and then Claire and you will chat and we'll get you booked in February for the entire show. We'll have a proper conversation. Last 30 seconds to you, Ralph, and thanks again.
No, thank you, Richie. No, I just want to say, please understand, I've spent my life, adult life, discovering the evidence, documented evidence, that there is a conspiracy, and they're working to change our civilization. That's where we are. So I'd urge your listeners to get involved and join me in a crusade to stop it. That's that simple.
Wonderfully said, and a great way to leave our chat today. Ralph-Epperson.com is the website. All good online retailers, including eBay, but all good online retailers do have Ralph's books. Check them out, and we will do this again in February. Ralph, enjoy the rest of your day there. I hope the clouds part there in Tucson, Arizona. And thanks so much for your time. I've really loved talking to you.
You're my pleasure, Richie. Thank you for the opportunity.
It was an honour. Bye for now, and thanks to Jean-Anne Crowley, our friend in Dublin, who recommended we get Ralph on the programme, and Claire for organising it. Great stuff. We've a good team here at this programme. I might get the plaudits sitting here enjoying conversations with people like Ralph, but we have a team here. We really do. Right, I've got to take a very quick break. When we come back, it'll be a brief chat, a brief comment, and then wrap up.
Do not risk putting another pound in your bank account until you've heard this message. It's Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my brand new book, The Road to Ruin. Visit theroadtoruin.co.uk for full details now. Inside, I uncover the financial elite's secret ICE-9 plan to take full control of your hard-earned cash. To see how, visit theroadtoruin.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. Claim your free copy at theroadtoruin.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy. energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Great stuff. I want to apologise to Tiger Johnson, who sent an email in during our chat with Gerald, and I didn't see it. Tiger, thanks. Great listening to Gerald, said Tiger. My opinion is that Trump came good on his promise of draining the swamp. Just a slight logistical problem. Somebody directed the drain hose straight into the White House. And like it or not, the people he picked will have a big influence on policy making. That's what I agree with entirely. I can't fault that comment. He has filled his cabinet, his administration, his advisor team with neocons and Rothschild Zionists. He really has, folks, you know. And I know I'll get criticism now because people say, oh, you should shut up, Richie. You know, you always get the last word. But look, I suppose I present the programme, so it's inevitable. I'm going to get the last word, by the way. Listen, you know, listening to what Ralph was talking about there, you're going to hear a lot of meat put on the bones of that and see it if you go and see the Worldwide Wake Up Tour through 2017. Go to theworldwidewakeup.com, and if David Icke is in a town near you, get a ticket and go and see him. I can't recommend it highly enough. If you're going to be at the Helix Theatre on Saturday, look out for my producer, Claire Calvey. Her going to see David at the Helix is kind of like the completion of a journey for her, because in the last couple of years, her life has kind of turned around in terms of her outlook on things, her understanding of things. She's been into this information for a couple of years. It led her to this program, and like I said, it's kind of like the end of stage one of a journey when she goes to see David. If you do see her on Saturday, do say a quick hello to her there. She'll be at the venue. Thanks to davidike.com, to alternatecurrentradio.com, and to fabradiointernational.com, Fabradio 2 in Manchester. I'll be back with you tomorrow, Tuesday, at 8 p.m. GMT, even getting ahead of myself there. We're not near the summer yet. GMT tomorrow with another edition of The Richie Allen Show in association with davidike.com. And this program will be podcasted very, very shortly, and it'll be on YouTube. The interviews will be early tomorrow morning. Leaving you with Gareth Icke. This is Gareth Icke and I Will Row on The Richie Allen Show. Until tomorrow, bye for now. Look after yourselves and one another. Thank you. Bye for now.